Hello everyone, and welcome to this Authentic Power Learning Community call. We have a special call for you today.
Yeah, hello everyone. I'm so glad to be here with you. Looking forward to the call.
And I also. So all of our calls are special because all of them discuss important things. Important things that have to do with changing your life and how you are in the world. Important things that give you the opportunity to look at what you're creating and see if you want to continue to create it, and to look at what you want to create, what you truly want to create from love, and then see what you need to create that. Linda and I were with Ram Dass, someone that I've read about. You probably read about him too. His book goes all the way back to Be Here Now. And he gave us this advice: love everybody. So now the question is, one of his longtime colleagues was there, laughed and said, yeah, but how do you love somebody you don't like? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we've been talking about all this time as we've been talking to you about creating authentic power, as we've been talking to you about accessing your deepest potential and bringing it into being.
So why wouldn't you like someone? The only reason you wouldn't like someone is because you have frightened parts of your personality that judge them. That's the only reason you wouldn't like someone. And the reason that they may not be likable is the same reason, because they have frightened parts of their personality that are not in their heart. So they may, or they're showing you things about yourself that you don't want to see that have to do with you. So there are a number of things, but the most important thing is that if you are not creating authentic power yourself, if you're not loving, no matter who it is, then you end up not loving that person. But it's through fear that you don't love them.
That's right. That's right. So you know the answer to Ram Dass's friend's question: how do you love somebody you don't like? Is to look not at the person that you don't like, but at you. You're the one that's not liking that person. And while you're not liking that person, you can't love that person. And that's a more specific way of saying that while you are frightened, you can't love. So you know that if you don't like someone, you know that if you're blaming someone, you know that if your life isn't the way you want it to be, and you're choosing to make circumstances that are outside of you responsible for your life not being the way that you want it to be, then you have made yourself into a victim. Now, I said it that way specifically: you have made yourself into a victim. But here's the thing: while you're in a frightened part of your personality, that part of your personality sees the world that way. To that part of your personality, it really is a victim. It really is at the mercy of someone or something else, or it really is at the mercy of a universe that is uncaring. Whatever it is, its reasons for not loving, its reasons for being the way it is, judgmental, or sometimes hateful, or disliking, or impatient, if it puts those reasons outside of itself, then it is pursuing external power.
What do you mean by that? Will you explain that? What do you mean if it puts those reasons outside of itself?
If it blames the world for the way that it feels, it's as simple as that. If it blames the world for the way that it feels, then in order to feel differently, it will need to change the world. And that is the pursuit of external power: rearranging circumstances so that you will feel better about yourself.
But isn't it rearranging? Isn't it just even trying to rearrange circumstances?
Yes.
Because it's not necessarily that someone is rearranging something. They may not be able to do that, but energetically they're trying to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. For example, they may find that their child is ill. Perhaps their child has a terminal disease. They may find that the business they've worked so hard to create please excuse me, the business that they've worked so hard to create is not succeeding. Perhaps the relationship that they want is not succeeding. And they're trying to change it. Now, leave out the relationship because that's something else. But go back to the illness. Here's an example in which a person may be trying to change.
You mean if a child is ill?
Yes.
You're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they can't change that. And they're angry that the child is ill. Their happiness depends upon the child becoming well. And so they are angry, either angry at the physicians that can't heal their child, or angry at the universe for making their child angry.
Or you mean for making their child ill?
For making their child ill, yeah. Thank you, beloved. Any outward focus in order to make yourself feel better is the pursuit of external power. Now, this is so different, so new, so novel, so completely unlike anything that we have experienced in our past, that it takes a while. It takes a while to think about it. It takes a while to bring it into your life and to experiment with it.
Well, it actually makes people's frightened part, the frightened parts of people, very angry when we say to them that, that it looks like you're feeling like a victim.
Indeed it does.
It looks like you're caretaking other people.
Yes. Now, there's a connection that Linda made that's very important.
Can I just say just a little bit about why we were talking about this? Ever since I've been learning about authentic power, I've been noticing things about myself and about other people. Some of the things I notice about myself are parts of my personality that feel like a victim, parts that want to caretake others, parts that blame others, parts that judge others, parts that seem loving, but really what they want, what those parts of my personality want, they're attached to, if I act loving, then I want the other person to act loving back to me. That's not loving. What that is attachment to acting in a certain way so that you'll get someone else. So you're trying to manipulate them into acting loving toward you. And when they don't, you don't like it. But if you're actually loving, if you're coming from loving parts of your personality, you won't be attached to whatever they do. It doesn't matter. So in other words, there are many, many, many frightened parts that I have and that all of us have that we could go on and on about. But I just wanted to, I talked with Gary about exploring the difference between, or to talk about victim, feeling wounded, having a story about why your life is the way it is or why other people's life is the way that it is, like your child or people that you know, versus consciously creating. And that's a very big thing because it's really hard. For instance, I've noticed for many years that people have support groups, and I'm putting that in quotes, support groups. I'm not so sure they're supportive. It depends on the intention. If the intention is loving and to support each other in becoming the authority in their own lives, in other words, to create authentic power, to grow spiritually, if that's really the focus, and not to be in agreement with each other that, yes, I'm a victim, yes, these things happened to me, and poor me and poor you too, and I'm really sorry that happened, that happens a lot in support groups. People really actually are in agreement with each other and not really supporting each other in their health, in their growth, but they don't see it that way. It doesn't make sense. And I particularly noticed, I just want to talk about a couple things I noticed. I noticed recently, I've seen this many times, but recently I noticed there were two people that were leaders in their communities and in different, completely different areas. And one of them was in education and another one was in spirituality, but teaching in that arena too. And what I noticed is that they were unconsciously furthering the victimization of the people that they thought they were helping, which really was so surprising, and I noticed it by listening to a few things that they said. They talked about wounded, people being wounded, people being a victim of certain things that had happened in their life. One had to do with a disability that children have that they put, this one person was particularly focused on and wanted to really note that these children were wounded, and they were wounded by the educational system. They were wounded by their parents, and he wanted to make them feel better. And he has a lot of authority in his own arena, in his own community. And it looks good to say, you know, to try to help people, but it always depends on the intention. And the intention that I felt from him is that he felt wounded because he had the same disability and wanted to create agreement with other people about that. What did you feel about that, beloved? I'm just curious, you know.
I felt the same way. He was feeling wounded himself, and that gave him an empathy with other people that he perceived as being wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, also perceiving themselves as wounded, felt an empathy or a communication or a bonding with this professional. So we have a professional who feels wounded as a child. There's lots of ways to be wounded, but I just pulled that one out.
That he was misunderstood and...
That, yes, whatever the trauma is, he now feels a special empathy with others who have the same trauma and an ability to support them because of that empathy. But what he's doing is validating their sense of being the way they are because of a wound that happened in the past.
Their identification, right, it just makes it stronger, more strongly identified with the story of, yes, I am different, and but the thing is that they're in agreement with each other and almost feel superior to other people who don't have that.
I suspect that they do.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that. But what I do know and what I see is that there are two victims interacting, a professional and a client.
And a child.
The child could be a client.
Yeah.
And the professional feels wounded and recognizes in the client a wound similar to his or her own, and therefore has a special ability and understanding of that in order to relate and help that person get over the wound or the trauma.
Now, so that they can feel better about themselves.
Yes. Yes, so they can become healthy. And from the perception of the professional, he wants them to become healthy.
But
or
what
more.
I'm saying, the professional feels better about himself by being the one who's helping to heal that person.
Absolutely, he
and
does.
So he's actually pursuing external power. I know this is unconscious. I don't feel this person is doing this because he is trying to do something deceiving. He just doesn't even know that he has frightened parts of his personality active. But because he's doing this, he keeps passing it on and passing it on to generations of children that go to his school, that come into his school, and to the parents, and they keep carrying on the same thing instead of seeing, you know, and I mean, like for me, educating children to create authentic power and teachers to create authentic power to be the authority in their own life and parents, would be so incredible. I mean, that's really what we want to do, but I see that it's so easy to not see that, so easy to be acting from fear and think it's love.
So contrast all of that with the creation of authentic power, with what you've been learning and what you've been practicing. In that case, any painful experience, including those that are traumatic, and all traumas are painful, instead of becoming a wound to you, becomes an opportunity to learn about yourself. Learn what about yourself? Learn whether you are experiencing a part of your personality that originates in fear or a part of your personality that originates in love. Parts of your personality that originate in fear behave in all so many common ways: anger, resentment, righteousness, superiority, and entitlement, inferiority and need to please, if you're in any of these because of this trauma, then you know that you are in a frightened part of your personality. And also, because you know about karma, you know about the universal law of cause and effect, that's the same thing. Because you know about the golden rule, that's the same thing too. You know that if you act from fear, you will create the consequences of fear and bring them into your life again. So instead of using the trauma to stay the way you are, which means to continue to create what you're creating as you pursue external powers, you try to change the world outside in order to make yourself feel better, you do something else. You look inside. You take your attention off the external circumstances. They happened, yes. We don't diminish them. No, you can't diminish them. No, perhaps you're crippled because of a car accident. Perhaps you can't come to terms with your sexuality because you were abused by a relative. Yes, those things happen. But they happen from the impersonal perspective of the soul to give you opportunities to grow spiritually. And that's the difference between pursuing external power and creating authentic power, real power. When you pursue external power, you try to change the world outside of you so that you'll feel better, so that you can come to terms with your sexuality because you were wounded, because you were abused sexually, or come to terms with your anger at the universe because you were in an accident and now you are crippled. And as you act from your sense of woundedness, which means being a victim, you create more experiences from fear. But as you act from love, even while you are experiencing the pain of a frightened part of your personality that sees itself as a victim, then you create your experiences differently.
Well, the part that sees me as a victim is a five-sensory part of my personality. It's a frightened part that can't see anything different than that.
That's right.
And so a multisensory, you know, when I open myself to my heart and my multisensory perception and my support of my guides and teachers, then I'm able to see things in a different way. I'm able to see that everything that happens, no matter what it is, to me, to anyone else, is an opportunity for that person or for me and all of us to learn about ourselves, to grow spiritually. That's the purpose of everything that happens and every interaction and every experience in the Earth School.
Yes, that's true. There are people who become multisensory who still continue to see themselves as victims.
Oh, yes.
In other words, shifting your motivation from a frightened part of your personality, which means anger or resentment or jealousy or victimhood, to a loving part of your personality, which means one that's grateful or appreciative or patient or caring or content, that requires a choice. That requires a conscious choice. That requires a choice that you know or feel will create consequences for which you're willing to assume responsibility. So becoming multisensory allows you to see more, but it doesn't create authentic power.
No.
It allows you to create with awareness, whereas in the past you created unconsciously, which means without awareness. You became angry and you shouted or withdrew. You became jealous, righteous, and you created those consequences unconsciously, encountered them, and did the same thing again and again and again and again. That's karma. That's karma playing itself out until the pain of the consequences that you create becomes so great that you cannot ignore the relationship between your decisions and the pain that you continue to experience in your life. But now that we're multisensory, why wait until that happens? Why not experiment with your life and begin creating consciously and see what experiences appear in your life? In other words, when you feel that your world is the way it is because of a trauma that you experienced in the past, experiment. Feel the pain that you're feeling somatically in your body. Use your emotional awareness, as you learned how to do, and then consciously relate to the next person you're with or the person you are with now with patience and love and appreciation. Don't wait till they change before you become patient and loving and caring. I think that's what Ram Dass meant when he said love everybody. It requires some work inside you, rather than waiting for the people outside of you to be the way you want them to be so that you can love them. Well, some of them aren't going to change because they aren't going to make the choice to change like you are. But that doesn't mean you can't love them, because the loving parts of your personality do love everybody.
So what happens whenever you make that big leap from being a victim, feeling wounded, acting from frightened parts of your personality that feel that way? What happens when you choose to act from loving parts of your personality, when you choose to create authentic power? Then you become a conscious creator in the world. You become a person who can create things from loving parts of the personality, because you've decided not to act on the parts of you, even if they're very strong, that feel wounded, that feel like a victim, that feel that blame other people, and especially don't trust the universe, because none of your frightened parts trust the universe, because they don't even have a way to do that. They have very distorted ways of thinking, and some of them are very, very strong. And so we're talking about this because it's everywhere in our world where people feel victimized, where people feel it's not, and we're not saying that if you see something happening where someone is getting abused or something like that, that you don't just say, well, they're supposed to have that happen. That's not, you do your best to support that not happening, but not from judgment of anyone in the circumstance, if that's the case. If it is something that's happening right now, then you do your best to support people from loving parts of your own personality, and if they're open to seeing it from a different perspective than they may have been seeing it.
Exactly. We've been suggesting to you, ever since we've been with you, or you've been with us, or considering what we say, that the universe is wise and compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not inert, random, cruel, merciless, any of those things. That it is alive, that there's nothing that's not alive. In other words, there's nothing that isn't consciousness with a capital C, or life with a capital L, or love with a capital L. These are the same things. So you can see this for yourself eventually using your multisensory perception. You can look around you and see all of the things that happen to you and all of the things that happen to the people around you. And you can see that in each of those circumstances is an opportunity to grow spiritually, to either cultivate love or to challenge and move beyond the control of fear. In other words, if you believe or want to believe that the universe is compassionate and wise, then you're going to have to look very carefully at the parts of you that consider themselves to be victims, because a victim is someone who feels that the universe is not compassionate and wise. In other words, if the universe is compassionate and wise, it's not just compassionate and wise in those moments when you're experiencing what you want to experience, what makes you feel good and supported and comfortable and loving. It's compassionate and wise, period, period, period. There's no but. So if that's the case, why is there so much suffering in the world? Why is there brutality, starvation? Why is there murder? Why is there the destruction of people and of entire cultures? And, well, you know the list is long. Why is there financial speculation? Why are some people so much in poverty or so much in pain that they wish they could leave the Earth School? These are the things of our species. All of these experiences are our experiences are in the Earth School because we put them there. And they will remain here until we begin to create differently. Now, by we, that's a collective term. But I contribute to us creating differently by creating differently myself. I contribute to us becoming more conscious by becoming more conscious myself. I contribute to our collective making more responsible choices by making responsible choices myself. And sometimes frightened parts of my personality that are so familiar arise in me, and I don't even notice them at the time. But if I have a spiritual partner, in this case, Linda, she can bring that to my attention, and I can challenge it. And it doesn't matter how she brings it to my attention. Sometimes she'll bring it to my attention lovingly because she understands that I'm in a frightened part of my personality. Sometimes she may react to my own reaction because she's in a frightened part of her personality. It doesn't make any difference. The information is still valuable, precious to me. The information is, if I'm in a frightened part of my personality, to become aware of it. To become aware of it and decide if I want to create in that energy, if I want to experience the consequences of creating in that energy. So what we're talking to you about now is very deep-rooted in our collective experience and understanding, the experience of victimhood.
It's a feeling wounded.
A feeling wounded. A feeling that we need protection against the universe. And those people who are caretakers feel that they need to provide you protection from the universe. And by doing that, they strive to feel better about themselves.
You know, I don't think people usually think that they're providing protection against the universe, or that the victimhood, the victim doesn't feel like the universe is a bad place. But the thing is, what they don't realize is if they truly trusted the universe to be passionate and wise and loving, then of course everything that happens would have to do with their possibility for growing themselves. It would have to. Because how could a universe that's so powerful it's either loving, like Gary and I've said so many times, it's in the seat of the soul, it's everywhere. We talk about it. Either the universe is loving and compassionate and wise, or it's cruel and uncaring. That's, you know, there's really no, it's either one way or the other.
That's right.
And when I'm feeling like a victim or I'm feeling wounded, I don't trust the universe is wise and loving.
So experiment with these things. You needn't take them as dogma or as true simply because we say them, but see if they resonate with you in your heart. If the universe is wise and compassionate, there is no wounding. There are continual opportunities to grow spiritually. And when you look at your experiences as karmic necessities, which means opportunities to grow spiritually, you begin to see the futility of blaming the person whom you think created those experiences. That person or those people or that trauma or that incident activated in you an interior dynamic in you. That means an aspect of your personality that originates in fear, so that you can recognize it, experience it fully, and challenge it consciously so that it no longer controls you in the future. That has nothing to do with victimization or woundedness. It has everything to do with conscious creation. You step from being a victim into being a conscious creator.
Mm.
And as you do that, you begin to see that everyone has the potential of doing that also. That there is so much pain in each individual's life, everyone that you know, and that pain will never change as they strive to change the world around them. Yes, someone gets a divorce and then they get a new wife or a new partner, and for a while they're happy. Frightened parts of your personality always become happy when they get what they want, and then they plummet downward into despair or anger or rage or resentment or disappointment when they don't get what they want. But when you create authentic power, you ignite something in you, and that something is love. And you ignite it with each choice to cultivate love and to challenge fear. That's how you create authentic power, choice by choice. In other words, using every opportunity that comes into your life to do exactly that. Not saying some of these are traumas and wounding, and others are beneficial and helpful, but that all of them are helpful.
In other words, each is a karmic necessity.
Yes.
For us to experience.
Precisely.
And when you are a conscious co-creator, you're grateful for even the most painful experiences. Maybe not right in the moment, you may react, but you see almost immediately, or you begin to see it, when it's happening even, that it's no matter how painful it is, it's a necessity. It's something for you to learn to create with love rather than fear this time.
And as you begin to do that, you'll bring into your life people who are doing the same or have done the same.
Mm.
For example, you may have encountered people who've had cancer. And at the time, it was a horrible, terrifying, frightening, miserable experience. But now they can look back and say, I'm so glad that happened. I changed my life because of that experience. Or the same thing, if it's the loss of someone that you love, any trauma that's utilized to grow spiritually will eventually cause you to say thank you.
I think it's anything we usually think of as a trauma, because it's not really a trauma, is it?
Precisely. No,
it's really a karmic necessity.
That's right. Trauma and opportunity to grow spiritually are perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And they come from different parts of your personality. The first comes from fear, and the second comes from love. And you're the one that chooses the perception that you will act on, even if you feel differently. You're the one that chooses the perception that will create the actions that will bring experiences, consequences into your life.
Indeed. So, indeed. No, I'm just thinking of two people that I really appreciate that are no longer in the Earth School, that used their circumstance to be conscious, to not be a victim. One was our dear friend Romy, who consciously left the Earth School, just allowed the whole process to happen. She knew she was going to be passing on, and she stayed present, and she didn't feel like a victim. She felt like she wanted to be aware of everything that was going on. Everything, no matter what it was, she wanted to be aware of it. And she knew it was almost time for her to leave. It was really quite beautiful to be with her.
Yes, it was.
And I was thinking of the man that we met on the plane that had cancer, that was so beautiful that I don't know what he was like before this happened. All I know is what a blessing it was to be around him, to see how loving he was, and how much he wanted to just live fully for the short amount of time he had left.
Yes, that was a choice on his part.
It was.
That was the creation of authentic power.
Yes.
So, chew on these things.
Yes.
Consider them. Meditate on them. Dream on them. And see if there's anything that we've said in this session, in this video, that might help you become more compassionate, more clear, more wise, more loving. And if so, experiment with it.
And that would allow you to become a conscious creator and co-creator.
So we're going to leave this video now, and we're going to join you on a conference call for questions and answers.
It'll take us a few minutes to do that.
And there'll be some silence between now and then. So use that silence to think about questions you might want to ask, questions that came up as you've been listening to this video,
mm-hmm.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye now. Hello, everyone. Good to join you on this part of the call. Looking forward to hearing your insights that you might have had about what we were talking about. Experiences you may have had. Anytime while we're talking here, I want you to raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad so we can call on you.
If you have something that you want to share
or a question that you'd like to ask. And I had a couple of questions for you. I've really been exploring this idea of victimhood and conscious creator. It's been really quite profound really watching this and seeing where I see it out in the world when people are feeling like victims or wounded and when they're not. And the difference between them, of course, is the difference between pursuing external power and the difference between creating authentic power. But I wanted to know, I'd love to find out where in your life you feel like a victim right now. Where is that? You know, would you speak about that? I'd really love to hear about that. And even what experience you've had recently that helped you to see when you felt like a victim or you wanted to caretake someone that you felt was a victim. I'd love to hear about those things because they're really exciting to examine. And there may be other insights that you've had or other things that you want to share that have to do with this topic.
And I'd also like to know if you had a reaction or any reactions
What
Linda and I were saying. If we're saying perhaps you have a trauma or something in your life that's been precious to you in the most horrible way, that means so impactful to you that you have always referred to that in explaining to others or yourself why you're the way you are and why you're not going to change. And we are suggesting that you look at that as an opportunity to grow spiritually and that continuing to cultivate that experience of a trauma as a wound is making yourself into a victim rather than into a creator. So that was the sharing that we gave. Did that cause any reactions in you?
Right, we'd like to hear that too.
Were there any parts of you that said, no, that's not so. Hey, you don't know what it's like to be abused. You don't know what it's like to be in combat. You don't know what it's like to lose a business or a family. You don't, et cetera, et cetera.
So we'd love to hear those kinds of things too. I think what I'd like to do is to start with, let's just take one person. How about Rob Marshall? Would you unmute Rob so he can speak with us? Hey, Rob.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear from you guys. I found an interesting reoccurring victimhood that really has controlled a lot of my life, my professional life. And it's not a traumatic experience, but it's a painful one. It's at work. And in my career path, there is a very clear career progression that I imagine other people can picture it, where you join a job or a career and you know which way you're supposed to go up. Like in the military, hey, you're supposed to become a general. And everyone tells you you're going to become a general. And then the universe decides that's not going to be the case. And my personality, the frightened parts of me, for a couple years ago, I kind of changed courses and something happened that let me know I wasn't going that way. And I was such a victim. It hurt me so much. I remember speaking to my mother about it and just wanting to vomit. It was such a painful experience to think I have so much to offer. Everyone tells me I should be heading in one direction, but there's something out there that won't let me do it. There's something that's stopping me from rising up and following this imagined career progression, this personality-driven, this is where I'm supposed to go in my life. And for the last couple of years, it's really been changing. But I've been able to, through the teachings, through going to the journey and reading the books, realize that the universe is wise and compassionate and that there must be something awesome wherever I go, whatever the direction may be, whatever door opens and whatever door closes, that's the direction I want. Now, I'll tell you, there is a frightened part that will still be active that I'm challenging. And that's when I go back to work because I'm surrounded by other people that are victims that also thought they were going to go up a certain path in life and that they're not going there. And every day, now that you mentioned it today, every day I realize we caretake each other and we talk about, oh, man, I can't believe you didn't get that promotion on time. Gosh, these people just don't know what they're thinking. Obviously, you got missed. There was a big mistake. And I'm going to make the conscious effort on Monday to go there and challenge that and not caretake the guys at work and the girls at work and say, well, the universe, the universe is a compassionate and wise place. Don't you think that you might be destined for something greater than you ever imagined? So today was awesome. It really brought everything into focus. But that's a challenge I've been dealing with for years.
Well, that's beautiful, Ron. It's beautiful to see not only that you felt like a victim and you're seeing it differently, but now you're seeing how people at your workplace feel like victims too, and that every day you each caretake each other to make the other person feel better so that you feel better,
mm-hmm.
instead of actually saying
exactly.
something in integrity. So that's beautiful. I can't wait to hear. Maybe next time we're on a call, you can let us know what happens when you start not caretaking, but really giving care to someone with integrity.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited that you and your partner are coming to the journey. I just heard that you were coming. That's very good.
We're so excited to start a marriage based on your partnership. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's really wonderful. Really happy to hear that, Ron.
I also.
Rob.
Yeah. Awesome.
Look forward to seeing you soon, and give me an update next month. I'd love to hear.
Thank you, guys. I will.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. Hey, Pam, I'd like to call on you. Pam Meyer next.
Yes, hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Really good to be here today. Well, I would just like to share an experience I had at the beginning of the year. I had an opportunity to travel to be with spiritual partners that I was really looking forward to. And the weather, I felt, my frightened part felt like did not cooperate. And I tried, my frightened part thought that it tried very consciously to be able to make the trip. But what I realized was that I had a lot of fear around that. I had a lot of fear around the travel and would I be stranded and would I be not make the connections. And so as it turned out, I was not able to make the trip. So my frightened part really became, the perception of my frightened part became the reality of not making the trip. And I did not realize that until I had spoken with some spiritual partners the next day who one of them asked me if I felt like a victim. And victimhood is just not something that I've really thought about in my life. I've always thought I was proactive. But what I realized was that I thought I had no other options. I thought I had pursued every option I had to make that trip. So I got out Seat of the Soul, and I was reading about, I'm not exactly sure which chapter I was reading in, but what I read was that even when I think I have no choice, I am making a choice. And so that really resonated with me. And Linda, something you said to me the next day was, as we were hanging up from our call, you said, but after all, you're the one who's not here with the group. And I got off the call and I thought, I had some frightened parts around that, really not a lot, because what I've learned from doing the work is that when I start to feel that reaction, I know that something good is about to happen, that I'm really going to learn something from it. And so I did. I realized that my fear is what controlled what happened. So I recently had another opportunity to travel, and I've been practicing this very consciously in how I make my decisions. And so when I got to the airport, I had no seat assignment, and the person I was with was real concerned about that. And I thought, no, I just know this is going to work. Got to the counter, and there were 5 unassigned seats left. And, of course, when I got up there, I was number 6. So the whole time, though, I knew I was going to be on that flight. I just was not, I did not engage my frightened parts that wanted me to think otherwise. And so as they were printing my refunds and closing the door, I still knew I was going to be on the flight. And I just trusted that the universe and I were co-creating. And someone came forward and said that one of the stewardesses who was in a seat had offered to be in the jump seat. And so that opened up a seat, which happened to be right in the row where my friend was traveling. So, so it's an amazing experience now that because I do realize I'm either creating love or fear, and I just did not understand it in this way before. So I'm so grateful.
Hmm.
That's beautiful, Pam. Now,
thank you.
I would like to use your beautiful sharing to illustrate something that's important to me. In this case, you realized that in the first instance, your fear was continually creating something other than the trip. And you were on that path early on. And in the second thing you shared, your love and your trust, your intuition or your sense of what was going to happen turned out to be exactly right, and exactly right in a spectacularly wonderful way, winding up not only with a seat, but with a seat just where you would have requested a seat or bought a seat. Pardon me. But there are also times when you want something very much and it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. This is a time to trust in the universe. The last step of creating authentic power is turning your own power over to a higher power. In other words, do everything you can. You go to the airport. You know that it's going to work. You
do everything you need to.
You do everything you need to do. Then, at that point, take your hands off the steering wheel. Say, thy will be done. Thy will, not my will. Creating authentic power requires a personal relationship with divine intelligence in which you share your experiences and your challenges and your aspirations and your joys with the understanding that you are being assisted in all of these, in all of your impulses to grow spiritually. And if you feel that you got to the airport, you knew you were going to go, there were only 5 seats left, and then the airplane took off with you in the waiting room, that was the perfect thing to happen. Why? You don't know. But you do know that if you had a reaction to that, if you felt disappointed, if you felt as though your happiness or your value was attached to being on that plane, then you know that you're experiencing a frightened part of your personality. And that is the time to challenge it by experiencing it fully, not pretending that you're not experiencing disappointment or anger or frustration, but experiencing it and then choosing not to act on it. So thank you very much for that sharing, Pam. I also love experiences like the one you described. They are awesome. They are awesome. But I don't want you or anyone to think that if it doesn't turn out the way that you would like it to be, that the way it turned out was any less compassionate or wise.
Mm-hmm.
Or offering you an opportunity to grow spiritually.
That's true, beloved, but I also had a feeling what Pam was saying is that intuitively she knew she was going to be on that plane. She
yes,
just knew it.
Absolutely, that's
yeah.
what I feel that's what Pam was saying.
Yeah.
Just the way I've known sometimes if I do something, I almost know how it's going to work out. It's just going to work out great, and I know it, and I do it, and it works out great. And I love that. I love those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love the rest of my life, and that's what I want to share using this beautiful example of things working out just the way your intuition said it would. Reminding you that your life is always providing you the opportunities to grow spiritually that are perfect for your growth, given the wisdom of the choices that you've made.
Right, right. You know, thank you, Pam. We only have room for like one more person, but what I want to say is I'm sure that what we've been talking about has either reaffirmed some things that you've been learning about yourself, or it's brought up reactions. I would love to have you let us know by emailing us and telling us what you've learning, or if you have any questions about what we have talked about, because we want to answer those for you. We can answer those on the website and let you know about that.
Where should they send their emails?
Oh, APLC@seatofthesoul.com. So if you could do that, or you can send it to support at Seat of the Soul if you remember that easier. But just put APLC call, question from or sharing from APLC call. We'd love to hear, because I know there are quite a few of you that have your hands up, and I do want to, you know, get a whole, I'd like to talk to all of you, but we're not going to have time if we're going to do the small groups and some other things that we want to share with you. But I do want to take one more call. How about you, Cindy?
Yes. Hi, Linda. And
hi, Cindy.
Hi. Yes, I've gained a lot out of your call today. One thing that's been with me for a couple of months now is how to know when it's time to move on from a situation. And as I was waiting to, just in the past few moments, it kind of came to me, I'm thinking of a work situation that I could return to or I could move on, and I've recently kind of gotten a glimpse of a certain place I could move on to, and it was coming to me just in the last few moments as kind of an answer that in making this decision, because the place that I left, there was conflict, and I did feel victimized, and I know that there are things that I need to change within the situation about myself. So I'm just, you know, I'm thinking out loud here that what I need to do is set my intention in making this choice for spiritual growth rather than looking at, I mean, I'm going to look at, you know, income and things like that, but my ultimate choice should be based upon my own spiritual growth. So, but my question still for you is, you know, at what point, I mean, not at what point, but how do you kind of determine, you know, when it is time to move on spiritually from one situation to another? Because I don't want to run from changing myself. Does that make sense?
Right, right, of course. Well, I mean, Cindy, it's really individual. Only you will know when it's time for you to leave the situation. And the best way to do that is to continue to create authentic power, to keep choosing love rather than fear, and really see what it is that you need to do for yourself and open yourself to your intuition. Using the authentic power guidelines will really help you, you know, to look at yourself, to really look clearly at what you're doing, why you're doing it, and choose love rather than fear. And like I said, I can't tell you when. There's no perfect timing. It's different for everyone in every situation. But the most important thing is that whatever you choose, you're choosing from love rather than fear. And if you're choosing from fear and you find that out, well, then you can choose again. And to keep doing that. So there's no one way. Like, people ask a lot about relationships. And only you, inside of you, you will know when it's time to leave a job or a relationship. You'll know when it is. But when you do it from a loving part of your personality rather than a fearful part, that's when you'll make a choice that really is creating loving consequences rather than painful ones. So thank you so much for your question.
Thank you. I'll continue to... I think one of your key words there was to use intuition about it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're always being guided and supported, Cindy. Always. Always. So thank you so much. It's so good to talk about these things and to talk to some of you. I know, like I said, I know we didn't answer all of your questions or you didn't get to share. And even if you didn't raise your hand, but you have something that comes to you on this call or after the call and you'd like to share it with us, we'd love to hear it. So please send whatever you want to by email. We're really looking forward to it. And we have a couple of announcements. In front of me right now, at this moment, I am looking at the first copies of the 25th anniversary of The Seat of the Soul, and it's so beautiful. We were sent the hard copy and the soft cover of The Seat of the Soul 25th anniversary with the study guide in it, and also the audio book. And what a thrill it is to look at this. It has a new cover. It's really beautiful. You've probably seen it on the website, but I'm just so thrilled about it. And besides buying the book, you know, one thing, I was with Gary in the recording studio when he recorded the Seat of the Soul, the study guide, and the new foreword and everything. And I just loved, I think it's such a special edition, you know, to really think about getting the CD so you can listen to them and go over the study guide also in your car or wherever you are, because it'll just remind you of questions that you have.
If you get the audio book, you can download it too.
Oh, that's true.
But it is available for those who still want to use a CD.
Yeah, but it's so exciting. I just feel the new vibrancy in the book. Even though the book itself isn't changed, the text of it, what starts it out and what ends it, the study guide, are so new and vibrant pieces of it that are just going to allow everyone to become much more deep, you know, just go deeper and deeper with what the teaching is in the Seat of the Soul. And also, Gary's putting, there's going to be an online extension of the Seat of the Soul on our website that will have videos about every chapter and meditations of every chapter and other things that we'll be putting on that particular part of the website that's honoring the 25th anniversary of the Seat of the Soul. I'm so excited about it, Beloved.
Thank you, Beloved. And those web pages will be available the same day that the book goes. It becomes available in bookstores, and that's on March the 11th. And when you buy this book, for those of you who already read The Seat of the Soul, which is probably almost everyone on this call, the first thing, if you're like me, that you're going to notice, other than the completely different cover, is how did it get so thick? How did this book get so substantive? Mine is quite a bit smaller.
It's true.
Well, the reason is the study guide. It's in the back of the book, and it's a significant study guide.
Yeah, it's almost a third of the book, Beloved.
Yeah.
Maybe at least a quarter, maybe a third, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing your experiences with it and how it helps you, and of course how the online extension of the study guide in the back of the book helps you in your experiences with that also.
Oh, absolutely. We're really excited to hear, and we'll be telling you more about ideas we have about the study guide and study groups and things like that as the time goes by. Next month we'll definitely be talking to you about that. And if you want to pre-order the book, you can go to the Seat of the Soul and click a link to pre-order the book. A lot of people have been doing that, we've been told, so we're really excited about that.
Yeah, I think it's better to go to our website because you'll get a pre-order link if you just go to Amazon and type in Seat of the Soul. They're still selling until March the 11th, the original edition, and that's purple. This one is orange and sunburst white, and It is very different.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so click the pre-order link on our website.
I think it's always better to go through our website to order the books and things. Yeah, it's always a great thing. Even though you end up going on Amazon or other places to buy it. But
yeah, there's lots of links on the website you can buy it.
Anyway, we have some special things that we're going to be announcing next month, so I'm so excited that we'll be together again next month, and that'll be March 15th. So, but what we want to do now is, and remind you to visit the online spiritual partnership community to share and interact and learn with your fellow students too, because that's how you practice creating authentic power, how you using the guidelines, the authentic power guidelines, how you practice being in spiritual partnership with each other. I don't know any other way to learn how to be a spiritual partner but to practice with other people who are willing to do that with you. That's what Gary and I have been doing for the last over 20 years now. We've been doing that because that has been the most, the fastest way, the most accelerated way that I've grown, is through our spiritual partnership and then later spiritual partnerships with other people that were also creating authentic power. So it's so wonderful to take that opportunity, even if frightened parts of your personality, and they won't want to go on the spiritual partnership community forum, they're not going to want to do that, but you do it anyway. So in other words, it's challenging that part of you that would stop you from doing something that could really benefit you, and your being with the other people, the other person or people that you're with could benefit them. So that's what I have to say about that right now. What about you, beloved? Anything else?
We have some interesting questions for you and ways to look at your experience coming up. I'd say
absolutely.
We just go right into that.
And you know what I recommend? Sometimes some people leave whenever we put people into groups. I recommend that you stay and practice and just see what happens instead of leaving the call. I mean, of course, if you really have to leave the call, you know, you could do that. But if you don't, I would recommend that you just stay and see what happens. You are being put into groups of four or five. I mean, three or four. And what we're going to do is just move over.
And can I say,
yes,
too, it's not only that you'll see what happens if you do decide to be in a small group. My first experience of that was just wonderful, but in all of my experiences so far. But it'll also give you an opportunity to challenge a part of your personality that doesn't want to interact, that would rather stay isolated, that would rather take an intellectual, let me learn about this process without applying it in a group, or even listening to other people in a group. That's the part of your personality that might be coming from fear. And if it is, then that's the part before and while you are in the group that you can experience. Use your emotional awareness and then decide not to be controlled by that part of your personality and see what that feels like. That's creating authentic power.
Okay, so you are in groups of three or four now, and when I ring the chime, I think you are anyway, I think you will be, when I ring the chime, I want you to introduce yourself to each other. We're only going to give less than a minute for that. Just introduce yourself, see who's in your group, say your name, and just let them know you're there. And so when I ring the chime, we'll unmute you. I'll let you know that you're unmuted by ringing the chime, actually. So here you go. Go right ahead and introduce yourself to everyone in the group. Okay, everyone. We're going to put you on mute just for a moment because I just want to say a few things before we leave the call. We are going to be leaving it now, but you can stay in your group as long as you like. And we suggest you continue to share more insights about yourself that you've had during the session, or insights about how you can be a conscious creator even when frightened parts of your personality that feel like a victim are active in you or want to caretake others rather than support them. So we suggest that the sharing be about that. In other words, how could you use your awareness to support you in becoming a conscious creator, and where that would lead you. So those are the kinds of things that we leave you with to share with each other for as long as you'd like to. And if you need to leave the call early or before you can share, or we would suggest you do it anyway, go to the online spiritual partnership forum as soon as you can and read what others are sharing and share yourself. Share what you're learning. Let other people in the whole community, maybe ones that weren't able to be on the call today, let them hear what you have to say and make that contribution to the people. And we'll see you next session, March 15th, 2014. We're really looking forward to that, and we're going to have some great news to share with you, so many things, and probably even before the next call. So enjoy yourselves, and have a most amazing time continuing to talk with each other, and have a most amazing day. Catching yourself when you feel like a victim or want to caretake and not doing that, feeling that, and choosing to be a conscious creator and a co-creator with others. So what a blessing it's been to be with you.
It has indeed. Goodbye for now.
Bye now. Ahui ho, as they say in Maui. Go ahead and unmute everyone. You can begin now.